Well, we've seen some great things this week. Been a blessing. I went to be with Brother Squiggy as he preached up. Tommy Ford's mama, Ida Mae's funeral, and I thought Brother Squeak did a great job. And we passed out all the tracts we had, and well, that was a blessing there. And people received, not one person that I know of threw it down, not one person. And then went Thursday with Brother Ryan. Brother Justin went with me, and we rode over to his grandfather's funeral. And there was hundreds of people there, and Brother Ryan prayed to start the funeral out, and so when they were leaving, we gave out tracts, and well, what a blessing. Nobody rejected them. And now Ryan caught a little problem at the end. I'd already gone, but one of his what would you say, uncle or a cousin, came to him and kind of rebuked him over it and about giving out tracts. And we gave out some tracts that we have back here that has Roe's name on it, so that way they come back on Roe. Open Door Baptist Church. There is no Open Door Baptist Church, but we gave them out. Tell it like, or this was your life, and everybody received it, as far as I know. And everybody, you know, it was a blessing. So, but Ryan just got some folks got mad at him for doing that, but that's fine. I mean, take that risk of somebody getting mad. And April Cole called me and said, preacher, can you meet with a young man y'all prayed for Wednesday night? And I went to meet with him. I met him at Bob Evans Friday morning. Big old boy. He come walking in. She said, he's a big boy. He come walking in, 6'5", about 270 pounds. He's supposed to be here today. I hope he shows up. And I got talking to him. He asked me a lot of questions and about salvation. And then I said, well, let's pray right now. And he goes, and he looked around. He said, in here? I said, yeah, let's do it in here. He said, can we go to a more private place? I said, sure. And so we went out to the excursion, and he ended up getting saved right in the excursion. So I said, let's go get you a Bible and everything. And I come up to the church. I had no keys. I had to break into the church. I'm climbing through the window, and I know he's thinking, I know he's sitting there thinking, I hope this guy's a pastor of this church. My. And I'm climbing through the window, and I landed on the ice cream machine down there. And so I got him a Bible and some other things. And but he's 23 years old, and it's a blessing, a big old boy. And he goes to Wilmington University there. And in April, Cole been witnessing to him and talking to him. And then he told me, he said, he was in the Navy, he was a nuclear aircraft carrier mechanic and worked on nuclear reactor. And so he told me that there's one guy, he said, he was a religious guy that was on the, he said he was always talking about God and everything. Then he stopped and he said, I mean spiritual guy. And so he's thinking back, this guy witnessed to him, and now it clicked. And what a blessing that was. This guy's name is, and you know what's sad? He grew up in Milford. His family worked on a farm, and his father and mother, and he never heard about Jesus Christ. Never heard. Right in Milford. So, anyway, y'all pray that he comes today. His name's Sean. Take your Bible, look in Romans 15, and I've been praying for more fruit. I want to see more fruit. I want to see my fruit remain. How did it go street preaching last night? Good? Good. Amen. Good. Well, amen. People asking questions. Amen. That's good. I know it's cold. I was praying for everybody. So y'all be praying for this. I mean, there's a lot of folks missing this morning. You got Brother Ken's going. They're coming back from Florida. Brother Joe from Virginia. Cody and Joan. Joan's in the hospital right now, and she might be coming home today. So pray for them. Pray for Brother Jack. Called me. Jack was supposed to do Sunday school this morning, and he called and said he had to work today. He won't be. They mandatory made him work. So there's so many folks going different things. So, but I love the Book of Romans. I'll tell you what. I recommend people to read the Book of Romans. Read it through and through and through. and you get some good information doctrine. It'll help ground you. And that's the key. When you see somebody get saved, if you're saved, you ought to want to get grounded. And what I mean by that ground is getting some roots down in the ground where you'll be stronger. And most Christians don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't seek the Lord. They don't know nothing. And my goal is to get people reading their Bible, get them praying, learning doctrine, learning things about what they believe. If I went around the room this morning and asked you this morning, think about it. If I asked you, what do you believe? And can you prove it from the Bible? Would you be able to do it? Would you be able to say, I know what I believe. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed on him against that day. Would you be able to stand up and say, I know this is what I believe. And this is what the Bible teaches. So the Bible tells us over in Timothy, it says, don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You get the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and that's what bothers me about people getting saved, because as soon as they get saved, you all know it, it happened to you. As soon as you get saved, Jehovah's Witnesses show up. It's like the devil sends them right around, and the Mormons come around, and then you start going, well, we're all Christians, aren't we? They say they're Christians, and then you get confused. Now, and when you know your Bible, when I first got saved, I'll never forget, I ran into Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Charismatics. I ran it because what happened was I wasn't afraid to speak up and say, I'm saved, I love the Lord. I was with that boy that got saved, and I walked by. I'm coming out of the booth where him and I was sitting, and I walked by a family, and a guy goes, hey, you're Pastor Ryman, aren't you? That's been happening to me a lot. And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I used to come to your church when I was a kid. I used to come with so-and-so. I said, really? Where you been? He said, well, I've been in Florida. He said, my whole family got saved. We're all saved. We're looking for a church. He said, can we come to your church? I said, sure, man. Come Sunday. And they're supposed to be here. But a lot of people say they're going to come, and when they commit, they're going to come. And don't let it get you discouraged, because the devil sees to it that throws a wrench in the whole plan. He'll throw a wrench in it. So you get somebody to say they're going to come, and they really mean it, and then if something happens, they can't. Or they get deterred about it. But look in Timothy what it says about the wind of doctrine. And I guess it's in 2 Timothy 2:15. That it? No, that's not it. That's so you show yourself approved. Yeah, that's what it is. Ephesians. There you go. Ephesians 4. Am I right? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. You tell your kids, grow up. You know what the Lord tells us? Grow up. He wants you to grow up. The Lord wants you to get closer to him. He wants you to know your Bible. Why? Because if you don't know what you believe, you don't know God. You just sit there and think, mom and dad says he's real. Or daddy says he was real. Or mama don't know. And all that stuff. You don't know what you believe. My God, man, you'll be tossed about. You'll be like a ship out with no rudder. I mean, you'll be out in the water just all over the place. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so you need to learn the Bible, know your Bible. Even as a kid, we got Sunday school. We're trying to teach kids the Bible so they'll know what they're looking for. As they get older, they'll know what they're looking for in a mate. They'll know what they're looking for in the church. Because this guy, after he got saved, he says, what kind of church should I go to? What kind of church should I go to? I said, well, you should go to a Bible believer. He says, all Baptist churches good? I said, no, not all Baptist churches are good. And I said, not all of them. Not all of them believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Not all of them preach it. They're more professional than they are, when it comes to. So I'm explaining all this stuff to them, and I'm dumping a lot. I said, look, I'm dumping a lot on you. I'm trying not to overload you. And I came up here and got them a discipleship book. I said, you study this, and you read this, and get to know it. So I guarantee you, right after he got saved, he'll have some old friends call him. Hey, man, we're going out drinking tonight. We're going out partying. That happens all the time. The devil sees to it that tries to get a person not to grow. Why? When you grow, let me tell you something. When you know your Bible and you grow, you become a threat. You're a threat to the devil. You're a threat because he's worried that you might lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. You might go to a funeral and pass out tracts and try to witness to people. Brother Squiggy preached on hell. He preached on heaven. And man, one guy came up to Brother Squeak at the end. He says, I've been in Georgia for all these years down in Atlanta. He said, I've never heard anybody preach that like that. Man, what a shame. What a shame. And I realize this. I realize the devil tries to keep people from hearing the truth. Teenager, he'll try to keep you from hearing the truth. He don't want you to grow. Why? Because you might win other people to Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of teenagers that's been on fire for God, man, and go out and win people to Jesus Christ, and man, set places on fire by the Word of God and being their testimony. He says in Romans chapter 15, look at this. We then are strong ought to bear the iniquities of the weak, not to please ourselves. It says, we then are strong. And I've said this before. I've seen a lot of Christians that think they're strong. But when the troubles and trials of life come along, they quit. They just quit serving God. They quit going to church. They say, man, well, I'm tired of this mess. And they just go out and do their own thing. And that's a shame. And I know a lot of them that I went to Bible school with. I know guys that I went to Bible school with, they quit. They're not serving God no more. You know, then one guy said to me, he said, if I get back serving God, he said, it'll cost me too much. And he said, my wife will leave me and all this because she don't want no more part of it. You know, you get so far out, man, and you think, aren't you saved? Don't you know better? And what happens is you say, well, I've been hurt in church. Who hasn't? You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt around the family. Family's going to have little squabbles here and there. You say, well, it shouldn't be that way. No, it shouldn't, but it happens. It shouldn't be that way. It says, we then are strong. Ought to bear the iniquities, infirmities of the weak, not the iniquities, but the infirmities. The struggles and things that people go through. When was the last time you got down with a brother or sister and prayed and cried with them over their problems in their life and things and tried to deal with it? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you said, man, God, have mercy on him, God, help my brother, and try to encourage him? It says, you which are strong. The Bible says, building yourself up, and it says, grow in grace. We just read over in Ephesians, grow. God wants you to grow up. And we always tell people, grow up. But Chris, my nephew, called me up, and he's telling me all this stuff like this and last night, and he's telling me this and that. And my sister's roof blew off, and he wants to come up here and try to help. But he said, man, my brakes went out on my car, and I'm working this job, and I'm trying to pastor this church, and now I've got to move out of my house. I've got to get another place. We've got another place. It's smaller. He's telling me all that, and I started laughing. And he goes, I know. I always say, welcome to my world. You know what? If you're going to be a strong Christian, you're going to bear some weight. You're going to have some weights to carry. You're going to have some stuff to carry. And the Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. He's not going to put anything on you that you can't handle. And if you're able to handle it, I mean, Lord, he'll put it on you. Why? I thank the Lord for the things I can carry for his glory. Really, I thank the Lord for it. Why? I mean, and thank God it ain't in my home. It's not in my home. God, you know, speak as a fool. Because I can't imagine going through what a lot of guys go through as pastors and their wives don't want to serve God. And their wives won't follow them. And their wives criticize them. And their children, I can't imagine it. Or a wife that's trying to live for God and her husband's criticizing her for going to church. And I can't imagine it. I've never had to go through that. And I never want to go through it. I can't imagine that. A woman just trying to keep on serving God, just trying to do what's right, and her husband's sitting there criticizing, making fun of her. And you know what that does? That'll do something for you. It'll build your strength. I'll tell you that. If you're relying on the Lord, if you don't get in this book, you're going to fall. You don't get your strength. That's why I was explaining that boy. I said, this is vegetables, milk. This is meat. If you don't get in this book, you're not going to get strong. You're going to be weak, and you're going to fall apart every time something happens. You're going to blame God, and you're going to get mad at God, and you're going to turn away and walk away from the church and say it's all the church's fault, all God's fault, all that preacher's fault. It's going to be everybody's fault but yours. And all you had to do is grow. That's all you had to do is eat. And people have no problem. This old boy, I took him out to eat. He didn't know I was paying for it, but he got steak and eggs and pancakes and all that stuff. And he, big old boy, sitting up there, and he's not fat. And he's sitting there, and he ate. I watched him eat a steak. I'm like, And he just cut the steak in half and shoved one half in his mouth. And then the other half in his mouth, it was gone. Pancakes, it was gone. I said, you got a healthy appetite. And he said, what? And I said, Lord, let him have that kind of appetite for your word. Let him have that kind of. When Roe got saved, Roe had that kind of appetite for the word of God. And but, you know, you got to pace yourself. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That's the key, man. This age, this day and age, everybody wants to please himself. Everybody wants to go on vacation and just get away from, I mean, I realize you need a vacation once in a while. Jesus said, let's come apart for a while. I know you need a vacation once in a while. But it says not to please ourselves. And every once in a while, you just, you know, you need to get away. But there's most people, just all they want to do is spend the rest of their life vacationing. And as a Christian. And a Christian, you should never be on vacation when it comes to serving God. Never. Pass out track wherever you go. If you're on vacation, you ought to be witnessing. You ought to go to church. You ought to be searching for souls all the time. Why? What's going to last forever? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Some people, all they want is gain, and me, and all I can get, it's just about me. And all they want to do, and they don't think about the kingdom of God. They don't think about another soul. They don't think about people dying and going to hell. They don't think about investing their money in the ministry and souls and people get saved. They don't think about that. All they think about, I'm going to get me a nice car, and I'm going to get me a big house, and I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to get near the water. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that stuff as long as you put God first. Nothing wrong with that stuff. You can have all that stuff, but and put the Lord first. God might give it to you. He might give you the desires of your heart. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6. Look at here, Galatians 6. You study this book, you realize, man, it's not about you. God wants you to grow. He wants you to get stronger, but it's not just about you. And most Christians are stuck on themselves. They're just stuck. I always call it stuck on stupid. And sometimes I get mad at myself. I'll get mad at myself and go, you idiot. When was the last time you called yourself an idiot? Oh, yesterday. Oh, man. I've done stuff and I said, you idiot. My wife, back, I had that other motorhome and it had no brakes on it. And I backed it up to a tree, and I was trying to find a master cylinder for it, and I didn't want to pay $1,000 for it, and they wanted $1,000, so I took the master cylinder off, and I'm going to go down, and I moved it, and I like moving things around. I like to change them up, even though I don't fix them. I just like to move them. And I moved that thing around, and I pulled it up against the tree, and I walked away, and I looked at it. It's leaning a little bit. I said, I'm going to put it up on some wood. So I pulled out, I put some wood under it, and I had to get up on the wood. I had to give it gas. And when I did give it gas, I ain't got no brakes. And when I went to give it gas, the gas pedal got stuck. And I backed up and slammed into a tree. But as I slammed into a tree, I threw it in drive. As I hit the tree, I went, oh, and I'm fast, real fast. And it drove the peg of the ladder right through the back wall and bent the back up. And I got out and I looked at it. And no lie. I was like, I looked at it. I went, you idiot. What is wrong with you? I'm talking to myself. I said, why didn't you leave well enough alone? Why couldn't you? And Linda, my wife, sticks her head out there and says, what's wrong? I heard something. I said, nothing. She said, I thought I heard something hit something. I said, no, it's fine. She went back in. I'm walking around, you idiot. And then finally, I told her after 2 days. She said, you're an idiot. I said, I know. But the insurance company come out. I prayed about it. And I said, should I call the insurance company? So I called the insurance company. They came out, and they totaled that thing. They totaled the motorhome. I said, it's not total. It's just a bumper bend. I can fix it. All I want is to see if you give me a little money for the bumper and stuff, and I can fix that. The lady said, sorry. She says, we totaled it. I only paid $5,000 for the thing. And she says, well, we'll give you $13,000. I said, what? She said, we'll give you $2,500 deductible to buy it back and $500. She said, $3,000, we'll give you a check for $10,000. I said, you'll give me a check if I keep it? And she said, yeah. So I go down, I get the check. My wife's in the kitchen. I walked in with the check. I said, look what this idiot just got. That was fun doing that. Yeah, man. So basically, that motorhome paid for the other motorhome. The Lord knows how to help idiots out. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 1. Look what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now it talks about strong over in one chapter, and then it says, ye which are spiritual, always spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You better be careful. Why, when you hear somebody say, you hear about somebody doing something, you better say, I'll never do something like that. That's stupid. Be careful about saying that. Be real careful. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, doesn't say a sin, but if a fault. If a guy, somebody comes to you, if somebody wants you to pray about sin, that's fine. But when it comes to, the Bible tells us, confess our faults one to another, not our sins. I'm not going to go up and confess my sins. We don't have to confess to man. We're not Catholic. We don't go into a booth and confess to a man our sins. But you can confess your faults one to another. You say, what's a fault? Well, brother, I have a problem with my temper. And I have a problem with my temper. Would you all pray for me about it? I need help with that. Get the brethren together and say, would you all pray for me? Pray that I'll make better decisions. I've made some bad, stupid decisions. It's just a brethren being overtaken in the fall. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering yourself. You got to be careful about, don't ever think that you're on this spiritual plateau. Now, I mean, you're spiritual, you're supposed to be, but don't ever think you're on the spiritual plateau and nothing's going to knock you off. Never get that place. You do, you're heading for a fall. You better be careful. Go back to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Look over at verse 25. He says, now I go on to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. There's things that you got to do as a Christian that you don't want to do. There's things as a pastor I got to do that I don't want to do. I will try to avoid it any way I can. But I ask God to help me. One of them sometimes is preaching babies' funerals. That's the hardest thing I've had to do. You talking about stress. I have to get up there and look at that little casket and preach that funeral. I've had to preach a funeral of three little babies all burnt up in the fire. My. I was telling the Lord, no, Lord, I ain't doing it. And the Lord reminded me, didn't you say you'd do whatever I asked you? I want you to do it. They need you. I said, I ain't doing it. And finally I did it. And I cried all the way through it. So there's things that God's going to say, I want you to do. And you got to bear the infirmities of the weak. And you got to go places, do things that you don't want. I've had to go to court. I've gone to the jails. I've gone to different places to help people and try to be a blessing to them. And even though I didn't want to go, didn't want to do it. And that's the thing, not pleasing yourself. You're trying to please God. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And your faith has got to grow. You got to get stronger in your faith. And it's got to grow. If you're going to please God, it says that you don't please yourself. And this Christian life is not just about what we can gain. You know, they had a sticker on the back of a motorhome, you know, whoever gets the most wins. You don't take that stuff with you. Nobody wins in this life. Nobody wins. I don't care if you're Donald Trump. I don't care who you are. And when it comes to souls, or you can be a soul conscious, you're sending stuff ahead. You're putting the word of God out. You're trying to support the work and weak and help the widows and the fatherless and all those things. You're just doing what God requires of us. And the Bible tells us that it says that after we've done our duty, we can just say, Lord, we're unprofitable servants. We're unprofitable servants. What is that? I think that's in Luke 17. I think it is. Let me go over here, Luke 17, look at that. after we've done our duty. Somebody find that for me. I thought it was Luke 17. Popped in my mind. What is it? 17:10. Look at this. So likewise, so when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And if you can't do what you do because you love him, you do your duty until the love gets back in it. Jack Hiles preached a message on duty years ago, and I've listened to that thing over and over and over and over and over. My wife said, man, you guys should have it memorized. And when he preached on duty, it's my duty to do these things. You say, do you do everything that your duty? Not always. No, I'm not trying to give you a false impression. I want to do my duty. I want to do everything I'm supposed to do. But I don't always do it. He says, but we say unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jack Hiles preached that message on duty. And I tell you what, I cried shouting back at him. He's preaching. I'm shouting in the car by myself, shouting at the radio. And I'm going, I'm going to do my duty. I'm shouting at it. It stirred me up. It just, you know, and I just want to do what's right. And try to help the others and try to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Try to see people say, I pray, Lord, send somebody to me I can talk to. And you want to be strong, you get in this book and pray. And God, give me fruit. And you want to you don't want to be the one that's weak. You want to be the one that's helping people. You want to be that one. I'd rather be the one trying to help people than to be the one have to always be rescued. There's some Christians, it seems like you're always rescuing them. You're always helping them. They're always the same. It's like they go down the same road every time you say, hey, the road's closed. It's a dead end. And they look at you and go, oh, okay. And they go down that same road. And you go, I said the road is closed. It's a dead end. Okay. Yeah. And they go down that road. And you say, how many times should you rescue them? Oh, man. The Bible talks about forgiving somebody, you know, 70 times 7. And I like what disciples said. They said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother when he offends me or goes against me? And he said, 7 times 7? They thought they were spiritual by saying that. They thought they were being up there on the plateau. 7 times 7, Lord? He said, no, 70 times 7. And then they went, pray for us. Brother, I tell you what, you'll need prayer. You'll need prayer. All right, go back to Romans chapter 15. We're going to stop right here. Didn't even get past the first verse. So why are you stopping here? So give me a chance to try to figure out why I'm preaching for Sunday morning. I've got ideas. I got different things, but I'm trying to figure out what the Lord wants me to do. So then, that we which are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It says not to please ourselves. And there's so much there. I was going to read all the way down to verse 30 and back over to Romans 15, verse 25. Now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. It hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. We're all debtors. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Their duty. Ministering carnal things is, what is that? Providing money, food, clothing, that kind of thing. It says, and when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Not strive with each other over stupid things, but strive to get the Word of God out and get people saved and try to get people loving the Lord, trying to get Christians to grow. And it's amazing to me how, and I was one of them, and I'm trying not to be one again, how people fight over stupid things, over those stupid things. Now, there's some things that you got to stand for. There's some things that you need to live for God for. You need to have some standards in your life. I told you that. You need to have some things, some if a man, and I'll tell you this, if a guy preaches on, you know, on clothing, on women, and hair on men, all that stuff, that's all I used to preach on, hair on men and pants on women and all that stuff. I used to go to churches. I'm not kidding. I was such a Pharisee that I would go to a church if a woman wore pants. I thought, my God, we need to pray for that church. They're backslidden. That's how much I was. I'm not kidding. That's where I was. I had to go to PBI to get out of that thinking. Because when I went to Tabernacle, they told you if a woman wore a pair of pants, I go, God have mercy. She need to get right with God. Really? I mean, I thought that way. And I preached against it. And I'd get up and say, you women are rebellious, hard-hearted, wearing pants. I mean, now the Bible talks about modest apparel. If a girl comes in here, her pants are so stinking tight that she has to wiggle into them. Look like she was born in them. And she's got to pull and yank and... I think they're a little too tight. They might be your little sisters that you're trying to put on. And they show every curve in their body. They're trying to show off something. They're trying to get somebody's attention. And you might get the wrong attention. You see all these girls getting missing. All these, you know why? There's stalkers that watch and look. They always say if a girl smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. And you see these girls, I see them all the time. You see them everywhere. And they're walking around, they got a little baby, and their boyfriend, that's supposed to be the father, will say, you ain't nothing but a hoe. I ain't my baby, you hoe. And then she gets broken, then she gets to the point where she says, I don't care. I'll just do what I want. And then she messes up her life, and then the kids suffer for it. We could get more of that. But here, that's saved girls. Save boys and girls. And they just ruin their life. And you know, they never get to this point. They never get to a place spiritual where they can help somebody else get through a hard time. They think just being there is going to, you got to have some spirituality to give them some hope. Instead of saying, I'm praying for you. You got to be somewhat of an example. They'll take it from you then. All right, let's stop. We got to stop. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. I pray, Father, help us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Help us be strong. Help us be spiritual. Help us to love you. And I pray the Bible says to, not to please ourselves. Everybody's out to please themselves. We all are selfish at times. I pray, God, forgive us for it. Wash us in the blood. Bless the service today. Help people come out today we haven't seen in a while. And Father, help the saints, God, start the desire to grow and get closer to you. And I pray, God, that you would, Father, save that soul nearest hell. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.